Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax. For a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
All right, here we go on a Wednesday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Coming up a little bit later today, Jay Binkley going to join us, our draft insider. We are 8 days away from the NFL draft. Bink will join us in studio in the 1 o'clock hour. At 12:30, Josh Vernier, our Royals insider, will join us for our weekly check-in to talk some Royals baseball as they are trying to avoid the sweep today at the hands of the New York Yankees, trying to avoid a 3-game skid for the first time this season. We're going to talk some Royals baseball.
That would be
baseball.
Nice. Avoid it. Come on, Chris Bubich.
Definitely need it. Definitely need it. We're going to talk about what happened last night a little bit here in 10 minutes or so. You guys can check out the show on Facebook, Twitch, YouTube, you name it. Make sure you subscribe. Don't miss any portion of the show. And also, you can hit us up on the Jays Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. Let's start draft, though, today, because we're getting close, man. Let's start
draft.
We're excited about our draft party at the Landing and everything. We've gone through all these mock drafts, and you guys, if you've listened over the last couple weeks, you kind of maybe had a little bit of a feel of the player or two at a position that we kind of like. You maybe made up your mind a player or two that you like. We all have kind of your draft crush at a particular position, and you guys can chime in, as I said, on the text line with this. Let's go to running back for a little bit. And look, I still don't want them taking one in the first round, let me be clear, despite maybe liking a certain running back or two, and I know you guys have a few names as well. But the name that I keep going back to that you tell me he's there in the second or third round that I'd be really intrigued by to compliment Isaiah Pacheco. This is not a guy that's going to take over and be a three-down back immediately or anything like that. There's just not that many of them. I'm talking about Dylan Sampson, the running back out of Tennessee.
Okay, so you've fallen for the volunteer, huh?
Yeah, we've brought his name up a few times. You know, and I think we're all on the same page, explosiveness out of that position. Got to get some explosiveness. And you go through, and whether it's Lance Zierlein, whether it's some of our other draft experts, even Matt Miller we've had on the show, and you get their perspective on what he brings to the table. The thing you always hear is, quote, excellent burst. I can't tell you how many of the scouting report, excellent burst and speed to run outside and hit chunk plays. That's exactly what I want from a running back in this role. He's probably best case scenario, a mid to late second rounder, most likely a third round pick. So you're not having to, I don't think, reach. You're not saying, no, this is only a guy like I can give you Ashton Jeanty. Well, that's not realistic. He's going to go in the top 15.
See, your top back in the draft, Gold. He's your number one back.
Ashton Jeanty.
Turns out he's also my number one back.
But
in the draft.
In terms of a realistic name that I also think would fit well, that I really like, Dylan Sampson, the running back out of Tennessee. He's also not old like some of these other running backs. He was a junior. He's coming out as a junior there. 5'8", 200 pounds. But you get some quickness, some speed. His exact comp is someone that the Chiefs comp to a previous running back, but maybe they'll actually get that running back, and that's Brian Westbrook.
Okay, so yeah, that was the comp for Clyde Edwards-Helaire going out there, and I still wonder what would have happened with Clyde had, one, he stayed healthy, but two, not be dealing with what turns out to be a lot of off-the-field stuff for himself, not like in a legal sense, but like in the, you know, some of the anxiety-related stuff and the other issues he was having. And I'd like to point out that Clyde was a really successful back there in year one. Looked like there were some possibilities, and then it just kind of fell apart. I did way more research on this than I'd like to admit. And I think largely because more than any position in the draft that I desperately want them to for sure take, I want them to take a running back. I want them to take an explosive running back. Pacheco might not be long for this world. We know that Kareem Hunt is not. So like they need the future back and a guy who can help their offense now. In doing all of it, and I might give you another name later that I'm interested in, and some of the, I think, projected to be later round than some of the earlier stuff. But the guy I kept coming back to, and I try to talk myself out of him a couple of times because I know that they don't take players from this school. My answer is Quinshon Judkins. He is, more than anything else, an absolute athletic freak. He is, if there is a Saquon Barkley in this draft, it's him. He's like 6 foot tall and 220 pounds. He's also super fast. Like, so they mentioned burst and top line speed. He ran a 4.440. And I understand we can be tricked into that. Isaiah Pacheco ran a really fast 40, but he doesn't play like a guy who ran a fast 40. I went back through. Quinshon Judkins, in my opinion, plays fast. He is both bigger bodied and speed, so it feels like I'm not losing anything in that. And out of all the running backs that I was doing some of the research on, I think he's a good vision guy too, which I feel like is one of the missing elements from Pacheco. Not from Kareem Hunt, but Hunt's talent can't allow his vision to take hold the same way. And so, like, if you tell me right now in the second round, they're in that late second round pick, and they say Quinshon Judkins, I'm in.
Yeah, he's another guy.
I think he might go earlier than that, but I'm in.
He's another guy that's probably in the same range as Dylan Sampson, though.
Yeah.
Second round, could be as late as third round. At least that's where most of the projections have. So those are two names that we've mentioned over the last couple of weeks, but we're on a different page. I wouldn't be upset if they drafted Judkins, let me be clear, but not doesn't stand out as much to me as Dylan Sampson. What about you, Drew? Do you have one? And we'll get some of your texts. I see a few names coming in.
I'm going to stick with Ohio State, but I'm not going to say Quinshon Judkins. I'm going to say Trevion Henderson.
And the other Ohio State running back?
And part of the reason why is pass protection. He's maybe the best pass pro back in the entire class. He's got very high regards, or held in high regards with that, and obviously with Patrick Mahomes, pass pro. He can fill immediately a Jerick McKinnon-like role, third down back, immediately plug-and-play guy. He can catch out of the backfield. Was very effective at Ohio State, but also pass pro-wise, being able to have that extra guy that is very experienced to help protect the back of Patrick Mahomes, along with all the other things that he brings to the table, which is part of why, you know, Judkins and him made such a dynamic punch, is Quinshon would come in on the first or second down, and then Trevion would be that guy in the third down. He's capable of being a full three down back, but I think pass protection, to me, just the way that the Chiefs do things, it makes sense for them to have a running back that is very good in that category of things that they don't have to worry about.
There are a lot of good choices, I'll say, but there's I don't know that there's a lot of top end speed. Part of the trouble I was having here is I didn't see the guy who's just the Chris. I was looking for like Chris Johnson. I was going through like every running back. Yeah. I'm like, who's the guy who like pretty much ran a 4.25? And I was having a hard time there.
Yeah, like Dylan Sampson did not run a 40 at the combine. I don't know what he did at his pro day, but he did not run a 40 at the combine. And someone says, hey, Sampson's too short. I don't want another 5'8 running back. Look, he's not going to be an every down back. That's not what most of these guys are going to be. Look at what Jerick McKinnon brought to this offense as a third down.
Yeah, he did a lot.
You know, one, he was a really good pass protector, and Dylan Sampson is by no means that. I'm not going to claim that. But if your argument is like, hey, he's 5'8", he's not going to hold up or whatever, he's too small, I don't care the size if the guy's going to be explosive out of the backfield as a compliment to Isaiah Pacheco. That's how I envision
you're viewing them together.
Dylan Sampson. Like, you guys tell me if I'm wrong on your two picks. I don't think either one of your guys is coming in and being a three down back either.
I don't think there are very many running backs in the league that
Derrick
do that
Henry,
anymore.
And Saquon are about it.
I mean, Quinshon Judkins probably has the best chance to do that out of the three
given
guys
size.
We listed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just based on like size and speed and ability. But like year one, I'm not anticipating that out of him. But I want a guy, like I do want a running back who, if he touches the ball, there is a chance he'll run 60 yards.
Yeah.
Like they just straight up don't have that. They haven't had that in a long time. Probably since maybe year one of Clyde. Because he had some of that. He had some of that. I don't know if it's been since like Jamal Charles. It feels like it's been forever since they had the like home run back. That's why I told you I kept going back to Bucky Irving or Devin Achane and like some of that style. Those guys are not, for the most part, every down backs. Devin Achane doesn't take every snap for the Miami Dolphins. He does in some games when they're just riding the hot hand. But sometimes he was just getting his 12 carries and then like one of them was for 60 yards.
I know you, with Dylan Sampson, you mentioned Brian Westbrook. Trevion Henderson's comp, Aaron Jones.
Yeah, love
that
too.
A guy that has that home run speed but is very good out of the backfield. I just think the way that Andy does things on offense, it fits to have a guy that is capable of being just as effective, whether it's blocking or receiving the ball out of the backfield.
That's the one question.
A dynamic guy.
About Samson and I can't remember if it was Judkins. We know if you want to be on the field on third down, you got to be able to pass protect. Mm-hmm. And that would be a question mark on Samson. I think that's also a little bit of a question mark on Travion Henderson as well.
I see some of the names over there. People obviously mentioned the local. I looked at Giddens. I looked at Devin Neal. I didn't want to like ignore those. I got close to kind of talking myself into Giddens a little bit, but some of the speed comps, people, they compare. One site directly called him Isaiah Pacheco. They were just like, this is Isaiah Pacheco. And I was like, I don't know if that's a direct comp or if that's the way it plays. And, you know, as you like, that was kind of an off put sign for me. Like Judkins comp from Lance Erline was Joe Mixon, which I thought, yeah, sure, I wouldn't mind that, certainly.
That's a good one.
But I looked at Devin Neal.
I'm surprised that wasn't your guy then. I'm a little surprised that wasn't your guy because of the comp to Mixon.
I think Devin Neal fits a little bit better than Giddens in the offense. If we're talking about specifically the local guys, I was tempted by Hampton. It's just like, I was doing cost benefit on like where I think he's going to go.
Yeah, I'm not claiming Dylan Sampson is the best running back in the class. You're not claiming Judkins. We're just saying like, hey, realistic options that we
Fitch,
all like.
Draft where they're going to go.
Sampson's in that bubble of Henderson and Judkins. You know, he's in the, because it's Genty, Hampton, and then there's a pool of some other guys, and he's in that second tier with some of those others. A
few other names, 913-586-7965, then we'll move on. Someone mentioned the Tuden guy or whatever from Virginia
Tech. Looked at him too, trying to talk myself into him, and I couldn't swing it.
Yeah.
Too big, or I don't know.
People like the speed, right? If they see 4.340 and they get excited, and understandably so. Also, Caleb Johnson at Iowa. We briefly, I think, had him pop up on a mock draft once. We talked about him.
You guys vehemently said no to Caleb Johnson.
Yeah.
The more I read about that, I was not interested.
He
led the Big Ten in rushing, didn't he?
Yeah.
He also ran a 4.540, I think is what it was.
Not the explosiveness that we were looking for. We'll get back to the draft, I promise, a little bit later on, not only with Bink, but also during the Chiefs Red half hour. But let's talk some Royals baseball. They dropped again, won again yesterday to the New York Yankees. They've lost two in a row. They're trying to avoid the sweep. We can get to the offense in a second. But last night, Michael Wacha did not pitch that poorly. Then Angel Zerpa comes in the game, and he simply has just not been as effective as he was in the playoffs last year, where they used him when they were going up against Juan Soto in that Yankees lineup. They counted on him to be the guy to get the crucial outs in those spots, and he was very effective. We know they have very high praise for Angel Zerpa in this organization.
Yeah, they love him.
And in that spot, we've discussed how not everybody's going to pitch in the same role, and they're going to move guys around. And right now, unfortunately, Hunter Harvey's on IL, so it limits them again. But that's one, even though I've been consistent on saying, hey, you know, Q's going to play the matchups, and most of the time that's going to pan out. I don't get the decision last night why Zerpa was the first guy out of the pen in that spot. And you can say it's hindsight 2020 because he didn't get the outs, but he has just not been as effective this year, period, as he was as that role. The only guy in that particular role has been Lucas Hursag.
Yeah, I think multiple it'd be different if you were on in the middle of a four-game winning streak and you were just trying to maintain that, right? Versus like, and I'm not saying the Royals are just like falling apart. They're 8-10. I don't think they're falling apart by any means. And I would say this to a player on the team. I refuse personally to panic after 18 games. I know some of you are. I refuse to just be like, well, this team's no good. Season over. Let's pack it up after 18 games. But Angel Zerpa in that spot, considering what he'd done this year, made no sense other than the fact he had come in with three consecutive scoreless outings. So the early season trouble he was having seemed to have been slightly righting the ship down there. And they just think one big fastball, but like if it's bases loaded and it's to win the damn game, we all know that was going to be the single biggest moment of the game. We knew it right then. And if that's the case, then I want Lucas Hursag pitching 100% of the time. It has even less to do with Angel Zerpa or his ability to get the out, is my confidence in Hursag to get the out.
Yeah, if you've been on the text line saying, you know, what about Daniel Lynch in that spot? I think he's building to that. I don't know if they have that confidence yet.
I'd almost rather Zerpa.
Yeah, I don't think he's on that level. I know he's on a heck of a run right now, but I don't think that I wouldn't have said, oh, it should have been Daniel Lynch. It would have been either Zerpa or Lucas Hursag in that spot. But it was frustrating because I actually thought Michael Wacha pitched pretty darn good and gave him a chance to win. And then, you know, they get two runs early and you're feeling like, okay, here's an opportunity to get back on track. And, you know, MJ Melendez, we all know about the struggles he's having. He finally get something positive, truly. Like, for the first time this entire season at the plate, had something positive happen for him. He hits a home run. That was not a Bronx, New York, Yankee Stadium aided home run. That was a home run to right center for, it was going to be a home run anywhere, right? So that,
and you could see the relief. Did you see him smile and hug coach, Zumwalt, and
take
stuff?
Take the frustration out of it from the fan perspective. But for him, obviously, I'm sure it felt incredible. And you saw him and Alex Zumwalt kind of embracing afterwards too. Yeah, I mean, this has been a brutal start to the season for him. It doesn't. And let me be clear. Like, you and I both, I think, on social last night made some comment about, like, you know, the highlight is like, oh, nice to see a home run from Minjay Melendez. And multiple people responded like, well, I guess they should just extend him now. Like, okay, we don't have to go to the extreme. You can acknowledge a positive moment for somebody without acting like we're saying everything is solved and everything is fixed. By no means do I think now everything doesn't matter from before. No, the hope should be, maybe I missed something. I thought the hope we all agreed should still be that the guy that was the starting left fielder in Melendez and the guy that was the starting right fielder in Renfro, the best case scenario for this team this year is still both of them figuring it out at the plate. When did we get to the point where now we're rooting for them to fail and that the random guy in AAA that you think is really good because you haven't seen him fail yet is just going to automatically come up and save the lineup? Like, the hope should still be, as frustrated as you have been with Minjay Melendez, that he figures it out. Now, will he figure it out? I don't know. I lean in the direction, unfortunately, that he may not. But acting like that was a bad thing. I had a buddy of mine text me last night saying, oh, great, this is just going to prolong his time in the big leagues. What, so we don't want him hitting home runs? We don't want him trying to figure it out now? That's where we're at?
I guess that's the question I would ask fans in this case. And this is why I would say, I think sometimes fans get a bad rap on social or as being unrealistic or being, I don't know, just mean to a fellow human being. But outside of that, let's just take it from a team perspective. Are you all rooting for Minjay Melendez to fail?
I think there's some people doing that, man.
Because I'd like the opposite. I would like Minjay Melendez to hit 300 the rest of the year with 30 homers. Anytime he does something good, I'm happy he did that thing well. That, like, there's not, like, I'm not rooting against it. He hits the home run, and honestly, My hope, and this is why I think we should all think this way, is the same, which is that relief borderline looked like Rory getting the green jacket. He looked so happy to finally just have like a monkey off his back for a minute, to feel like a swing that worked, sent a ball over the fence. Maybe he can have a little bit of success over the next couple of weeks. Look, they'll still have to make a decision on him. If he doesn't, nothing changes that. But I'm not rooting for Minjay Melendez to be really bad for the next week so that they call up John Rave. I'm rooting for Minjay Melendez to hit 700 the next week so they don't even have to make that decision. I would much prefer a player just makes the decision easy for you on the positive than been rooting for some guy that they don't like as much based on just how they developed through the minors, how they got to the big leagues, and a million other things.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe we're viewing it too in a utopian world, I guess, because I thought it was okay to be acknowledge that somebody has been awful for the team, but still say, oh, that was nice to see somebody do something positive. Yeah, now let's see if he can carry it over. It doesn't mean that, look, the guy's still hitting like 0.90, right? Like, or 0.090, I'm sorry, is still what he's hitting. I mean, it's awful.
0.90 would be incredible.
Yeah, that would be incredible.
Baseball, it's weird to describe
0.090.
Not as good.
Yeah, you know, below 100. So nobody's saying it's fixed or anything, but I don't get that. And you can be pessimistic that he can continue. Sure, we all are, right? Like, I'll be pleasantly surprised if tonight he has a two-hit night or something like that. But yeah, I didn't get the comments from some people last night on that. That's all.
I guess in the way I view it is like the Royals pitching staff is still doing things that is going to make winning easier if and when the offense can find some semblance of consistency. Right now, they still have the fourth best team ERA in all of baseball at 3.28. Only the Mets, Padres, and Reds have a better overall ERA. The teams with, like, it's just so crazy. If you look at the teams with the top seven ERAs in baseball, every single one of them has a winning record except the Royals. So, like, I'll just be honest with you, I'm not surprised. And in the top 10, only one other team doesn't have a winning record, and that's the Tampa Bay Rays. I don't blame you for being mad at the offense. Last night was another example of, like, are you kidding? Two more runs? Waka's going to give you, Waka's almost going to get, honestly, I would have preferred Waka to get that out than Zerpa in that moment, but I would have gone to Urseg. But, like, you know, you get a pretty good start from Waka. You only give up four runs again the game before. You only give up a couple. You can't find a way to scratch a cusp. Because right now, we're not asking for some 8-run effort for the Royals to win a game. We are asking for the minimum right now, which is, can you very simply just get four runs and you probably win a baseball game? The teams that have overall good ERAs tend to win a lot of baseball games, just generally. I don't know for how many years we talked about this. So I actually still think they're positioned okay if they could just find, and like, it still goes, but like, more than MJ hitting 091, do you know what's a bigger problem in their lineup right now? Vinny hitting 200. And I don't even know if that's his average, but like, that's a bigger problem than the other way around. Not that I'm saying, I don't know, like, I still think the way people talk about players 18 games of the season, like, we just need to wash our hands of them. Like, well, I guess we just shouldn't Vinny to the Reds now. And you're like, were you all?
Yeah, it's not a, it's not a fantasy baseball lineup where you lose your first 2 weeks of the season. And so you go and you cut six guys off your fantasy baseball team and sign six new guys. Or in fantasy football, you have a bad first week and you drop five guys you drafted and then sign five new guys and just change your entire team. It doesn't work that way.
Well, Justin Jefferson only had two catches. Mm-hmm. So you know what? We need to get rid of him. And we're going to bring up Alec Pierce from the Colts. Please.
Yeah. Like Joe Burrow's team wasn't real good 4 weeks into the season last year. Should they have just like washed their hands? Like, no, it's crazy.
Now there's some individual players, and I know someone would respond, and I agree, like somebody like MJ Melendez or Hunter Renfro, you've
got options.
Options on Melendez, obviously they have to DFA Renfro, but yeah, people are basing a lot of it off of the lack of production going back to last season as well. This is a culmination of things. People aren't separating last year from this year that's carrying over. And let's see, like, as we've said, the next couple of weeks and the next month or so is going to dictate a lot of this. If they don't get right in another month, 2 months max, with certain players or offensively as a whole, we will be talking about, hey, where's the hitting development in the organization, things like that. I'm not ready to have that conversation because I think it's way premature. But at some point, yeah, you'll have to start wondering, hey, do they have the right development going on with hitting in the organization, as much as we're praising the pitching? Do they have that with hitting? I think it's crazy to already say right this second that, oh, they're just not developing any hitting. Let's see how it progresses. But that'll be a fair conversation to be had in due time if, in fact, the entire offense is going to continue to struggle.
It is always tough with relievers because, like, Zerpa, because, like, over on Twitch, two people, Dan and Why Not, have both said, hey, Lynch should be the first lefty out of the pen. That might be true. I mean, Lynch isn't giving
it. Might get there eventually.
Like, it very well might, but I think sometimes with relievers, we see them so infrequently, they could have, and you remember this, they could have, we did this with MacArthur early in the season. Later in the year, obviously, he was having a harder time getting outs. They could have 15 consecutive scoreless outings. And if they blew it in the one that you remember, Gold, do you know how many texts you'd get? Do you know how many texts you get? Like, Zerpa could go his next 15 consecutive outings scoreless. And in outing 16, they go to him and the bases loaded, same thing. He gives up a double, and he was great the entire time. You all be like, I can't believe they go to Zerpa. We forget about the good sometimes, and they're banking on a little bit of what they saw in Zerpa last year. I will say, Lynch still does have a 0.00 ERA, so going to him is not a bad idea. Don't get me wrong. I'm definitely interested in using Lynch in higher leverage situations, but
we'll get back into some Royals baseball, I promise, throughout the show. We'll get back to some of your texts as well. 913-586-7965. So you guys know that, of course, the Masters wrapped up on Sunday, and we've been talking a lot about golf on the show because in the next month or so, or less than a month, we're going to try to get Drew to qualify for a Korn Ferry Tour event. And it all started because of the conversation about breaking 100 at Augusta. Both our boss, Speck, and Drew said that. They said from the same tees as the pros during the Masters, they could break 100. We're like, you got to be kidding me. Well, someone that's covered sports in this town for a very long time for the Associated Press, Dave Scretta, was covering the Masters. And in the media, you get your name drawn potentially. I think they draw, what do we think, 20 names?
Yeah, something like that.
To play one round of golf at Augusta the day after the Masters. Like, it's an unbelievable thing to get to do.
Unreal experience, I'm sure.
I think CDOT and Rob called up Dave Scretta yesterday to ask him about his experience and to ask him, hey, what was your score, and do you think breaking 100 for the average golfer makes a lot of sense?
A weekend warrior would not break 100. I played a lot of golf growing up. I don't play as much anymore. If I'm playing back home on like a normal course, I'm going to shoot around 80, like 78, 79, 80, 81, 82, depending on how I play. I shot 95 and played my butt off. JJ Watt shot 103, he said. So it's just so unbelievably difficult. And there's no secrets. Like, there it is right in front of you. There's no surprises. But when you get to the greens, I mean, it is so difficult. If you don't have a caddy telling you what to do, where to go, the breaks, I mean, you're going to three putt every green. It's just so hard.
And he shot from the members' tees, not from the tournament tees that Drew and Speck said they could break 100.
Andrew,
how do you
feel
about
that? If you were just going out on the weekend and shooting at a Muni, an 80 is probably a reasonable score, right?
I mean, that's what I shot the other day, the first time playing in 9 months. So.
Yeah. What do you make of Skreta, though? He broke 100. Now it's from the members.
That's great. I mean, again, we wouldn't be able to get – there's no way to test this because even if – let's say
– I love that answer, though. I do love that. You're not wrong, but I can say that about so many things in life. You guys can't tell me I can't hit a home run off a loose
circle. You can't tell me I can't dunk on LeBron. You can't prove it.
I understand.
This is why I think people love golf, because you and everybody feels like – because theoretically, you can play with the same club on the same course – as the pros, you have this, I think, complete incorrect way of viewing it. Like, you're right. I can't be in the batter's box at Kauffman Stadium against Lucas Erceg, so maybe it's not a direct comp.
It wouldn't be the same club, though. See, that's where I think golf is. I think that's where it's amazing.
But golfers, and this is why people love golf, I assume, among many reasons. But, like, you can play at the same course as the pros and feel like you can do the exact same thing theoretically. And mass what I think is reality. But anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
I mean, how far are the member tees, though?
It's like 1,200 yards less, man.
So it's like 6,300.
Yeah. And so, like, the way I read it was some of the holes won't be any different, right? Fundamentally, sure, they will be the same.
Correct.
But some of the holes, it's an additional, like, 150 yards, like a full ass shot.
Yes.
Different than what you would normally do. Look, I listened to that and I thought I owe Drew a half apology. Maybe I jumped too quick to say that there's a 0.000 chance if I gave you the member tees. I still think if you're shooting from the pro tees.
He didn't say the member tees. He said the
member tees, I actually think you got a shot. I think you got to play your best golf. I think you're going to go out there and have a hell of a round and no messing around kind of stuff.
Of course.
But I mean, the fact that he's saying three putt every green is exactly what we were talking about.
Yeah, I think that would be the part of it where even if I'm playing from 7,500, I might have to take driver, and then I might go three wood. I might go back to back where Brooks Koepka can get, or Rory can go.
But three wood off the deck is probably not a club you hit very often, Drew. That's not likely to be successful.
Well, that's what I mean. It would be more difficult, certainly, from the yardage's point, but it all eventually comes back to your ability to work around the greens and all of those other things. So
he said the caddy was a big help. So I guess in the hypothetical, you also do get a master's caddy.
I didn't recall them
caddy.
Saying they got a caddy, but
where?
In their Speck and Drew's.
Oh, yeah, and they're dream. Hypothetical. It didn't seem like it. Would seem like they're just on the course. Skreta, when he played it, got an Augusta caddy, in, like, he probably knows every blade of grass
and
on
that
the
got
green.
Him, and that got him to 95 on members' tees.
And he
all
did say, I played great, as in, like, it wasn't just, like, I had the round, right? It's like, so from the member tees, I'd give you a chance. I'd still bet against you, if I'm being honest. I'd still bet against you breaking 100.
Fair enough.
But, like, from the pro tees, I still think it's zero. Right, that 1,000 yards is not nothing.
Coming up next, though, thinking of comments that make me think and chuckle at times, what a big leaguer said yesterday about the current situation he's in despite the money he's making, and who could still be the guy in the backfield for this upcoming Chiefs season.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
That's next. Coming up in about 8 minutes, we'll get to a player that maybe is getting discounted too much already, heading into the draft, heading into the season, with the conversation about how this past year ended for him. We'll get to that in just a bit. But we all know this offseason, Juan Soto got paid, absolutely paid by the New York Mets. And he is still, I think people forget, he's not 28 years old. He's not 30 years old. This guy had got up to the big leagues with the Nationals at such a young age. It was in the World Series when he was like 19 or something.
He was a teenager.
Yeah, like it was crazy. So he signed a 15-year, $765 million contract with the Mets. And he had 41 home runs last year, 109 RBI, MLB high runs in 2024, hit .288, finished third in the AL MVP race just behind Bobby Witt Jr. and Aaron Judge. So he's with the Mets, and I mentioned behind Aaron Judge. Well, now he doesn't have Aaron Judge behind him in the lineup.
Which we all knew. I mean, that's, you know, that's how it works.
He was commenting yesterday to the New York Post and said, well, I'm being pitched differently than I was last year because I don't have Aaron Judge behind me. Dude, you signed a 15-year, $765 million contract. There are no excuses to be had. None whatsoever.
This is one of the worst conceivable answers you can give considering his spot. He is one of the five best players in the sport historically.
And for those who know, look at his numbers this year. This is why the comment came.
He's hitting .250 with a .392 on base. So he's still walking, although he walks at a higher rate than that in his career. He's only got 3 home runs, which is low for him, and 7 RBI in now 17 games with the Mets. This is the... You can't make excuses. You're making $750 million. You were supposed to be Aaron Judge. What kind of player of his caliber essentially admits that he's not as good of a player without a better player behind him? That's nuts. This is a truly, truly, truly awful answer from Juan Soto.
He is being pitched differently. That is a fact. And it is
sure,
because
you're supposed to adjust. You're Juan Soto.
You're the guy.
Like Bobby Witt Jr. has had Salvador Perez or Vinny Pasquantino hitting behind him the entire time. Not Aaron Judge, right? Not like a player of putting up those kinds of numbers. Not saying those are good players, but like not they're afraid to pitch to Aaron Judge. It doesn't stop him. He's playing great. Whole offense can't hit. Bobby Witt Jr. still can. So, like, the idea that, like, you can't make $750 million and never make an excuse. I'll be honest. You can't say your ankle hurts or your elbow hurts or you had a tough day at home or Aaron Judge isn't hitting behind you. You have to be excuseless. Just simply, I am not playing up to the standards that I am being, you know, that I should expect of myself. That's the only correct answer in this scenario.
I was surprised.
That's a weird cop-out on the Aaron Judge thing.
I was surprised to hear because I actually think Juan Soto is an extremely likable player, and he's one of the most entertaining players to watch in baseball and all of that. This was, if you would have guessed, had me guess a player that would already, like this early in the season, maybe make some excuse for how they're performing, I would not have expected it to be Juan Soto. I also still think by the time the season is over, he'll be hitting way better than 250. He'll be on pace for another all-star season and all this, and it'll all work out. But he's off to a slow start by the financial standards that he's making, and he's in New York yet again, and so the magnifying glass is on you, no doubt, and everybody's going to be taking a closer look.
Take $750 million. That's part of the price. That's part of the pay. Like you said, the magnifying glass, that's it. Somebody pointing out Pete Alonso's been hitting behind him most of the year. He's hitting 350. He's making it he's making it sound like Paolo Orlando, not even in his prime, is hitting behind him. Like he's just not getting a single pitch to hit. No, you're a really good baseball player, so they've decided to limit their exposure against you. God, I mean, Pete Alonso is leading the league in OPS. Like the idea that, well, I'm just not getting any pitches to hit. Well, that's your job. Like, I'm sorry, you got to walk more than. Barry Bonds was the, I just in any of the time I've watched baseball, I don't care if it's Ken Griffey Jr., Aaron Judge the last couple of years, in all of my time consuming baseball as a 40-year-old man, I've never watched a person pitched around more in my life than Barry Bonds. And yet, he found pitches to hit, Gold. Like, they straight up were not throwing to him for five consecutive years. You know what he did? He waited for the one pitch that was hittable and he wrecked it. Like, if you're Juan Soto and you're making $750 million, that's your job. That's your job.
The question, the comment, if anybody wants to have a true issue with it, it should be, as you said, Pete Alonso, because you're basically saying I'm not as, you know, the guy behind me sucks compared. That's who should be. If anybody wants to
that's actually fair.
I mean, deep down, you and I and anybody else, like, it doesn't matter our reaction to it. The person that would have a legit gripe would be Pete Alonso. Now, going back, and I think there was a New York Post article about this yesterday, and it was like, hey, you know, when Juan Soto signed with the Mets, he also told Steve Cohen, the owner of the Mets, hey, I want you to make sure you bring back Pete Alonso. Because remember, that was not a done deal yet either. It took a while for Pete Alonso to sign back. And so Pete Alonso, if you're him, you go back to those and say, no, Juan Soto was vouching for me to come back here. And so obviously he thinks I'm a quality hitter. But on the surface, I could see how that could be misconstrued of like, oh, you're taking a shot at your teammate. Otherwise, I don't know if it ultimately matters.
It's like, hey, I don't have the kind of support I normally have. They're not pitching me the same. But specifically about Pete Alonso, a guy you said you wanted back, the reason why I said it's the worst conceivable comment you can make is it's bad on all fronts. It makes you look like you're making excuses for your poor play. It makes it look like you're not worth the money, which in year one of this deal, I mean, they got to pay you this for a billion years in a row. Feels like a shot at Pete Alonso. Makes it sound like you're not happy to be a Met. It makes it sound like you pine for the days that I was a New York Yankee and Aaron Judge hit behind me. And then it makes it seem like you only cared about the money. That you knew that what you were losing and not having Aaron Judge hit behind you and being on a team that had those kind of capabilities and you cared. And I don't care that you care about the money, but there are always going to be fans that blame athletes who take the money instead. Sure. And so,
the minute you sign a contract like that, and it's nobody's going to feel sorry for you, right? Because you signed the deal. But the minute you sign a deal like that, anything you say and do, people are going to
nitpick.
Hey, you signed up for it.
I'm not going to feel bad for you. I'll take all that criticism. I'll go out there and try to hit for the New York Mets today for the next 14 years, and people can hate me for the rest of my life for $750 million. Yeah. I'll hit cleanup behind Alonzo. I'll hit third behind or ahead of Alonzo. I'll go 0-4. I'll never get a single hit. Do you think if I had to play out that entire contract, 14 years, I get professional training, do I get one hit?
A hit?
A hit?
Yes.
But I'll hit about 0-5-0 every year. What do we think?
You'll have a bunch of 1-for-50 stretches.
Oh, at best. You 1-for-150 stretches. Dude, I think I might get on average over the 14-year thing. Because I'm in this hypothetical, I'm getting
How many strikeouts?
And I got to play every day, dude. 400, 500 at bats a season.
You're going to strike out. You might strike out 450 times, 480 times.
I think I get five hits and I strike out. Because imagine how in they're playing. Dude, imagine how in they're playing. I can't get a bloop. I'm not getting a bloop.
You're definitely not legging out an infield single.
I actually think
you're getting injured before the season ends. Because I think you're going to misread.
I think you're going to play through any injury that's not just like I broke an arm or something.
I think a ball's hitting you're breaking fingers and stuff because you're just not going to get out of the way.
I think I reached base five times.
Would you have a better on base percentage not swinging the bat a single solitary time and just hoping you walk a couple
and
times.
And just hoping a guy doesn't have it, can't throw
exactly,
a strike?
Exactly.
I got to think in my case, dude, they're going to they're going to like practically soft toss one in there for a strike.
Well, why
they're
would they?
Walking.
Why would they?
Exactly.
No, why would they lollipop it in?
I'm just saying, rather than walk me. I'm saying if they just have no command,
Cody,
they go
you're not 3-0. Catching up. You're not catching up to 100 miles. If the guy throws 97 mile per hour fastball, he can just throw that the whole time. You're never hitting.
No, but
hitting.
I'm saying he's just saying
you're never hitting it.
He's saying would I have a better on base percentage hoping someone just accidentally walked me?
If you did not swing a bat,
attempting not to pitch around me.
We're down a dangerous path where now every day somebody on this show is making another ridiculous claim about what they can do.
He's saying like they just don't have command, like a 4-pitch walk. Would I have a better on base percentage not trying? Is his argument.
Would you be better to just standing up there and just taking it?
No, because they would not walk.
No, here. I'm just saying like they would take all the they would take anything they needed to take off in order to throw a ball over the plate to
make sure it was a
under
strike.
Yes. That's what I'm saying. No one would ever walk me. There is no I would walk zero times. I would maybe get hit once or twice because an errant pitch slipped out of somebody's fingers. Maybe once a year I'd get hit. I'd walk zero times. I'd strike out 400.
Once a year.
I'd strike out 400 out of 500 bats.
Hang on. So you
420?
You would never catch up to 100 miles.
You'd be 54 when you finish the contract.
I mean, I would get training in this scenario. So, like, I might. But, like, again, I think I'd get on base. You don't think I'd get on base four times?
No, this is two conversations we've had already in the first 45 minutes of the show.
This is not reckless. This is way different than shooting 100.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if we're claiming.
I said I'd get on base at a 0.008% of the time.
So you get one hit, five hits a year?
I didn't say five hits. I said I get on base five times out of 500 at bats.
Okay, so it's not
I think
hits.
I get plucked once, I think, and then or hit twice or like an accidental walk. I think there's one accidental walk in there because I swing so little. Because I'll be honest, I'm not taking that many swings.
That's why I asked.
Do you think anybody would even throw me a fastball? Or do you think I just get straight sliders? Because I got less of a chance of hitting that. I think I might get nothing but sliders. I don't even think anyone would throw me a fastball. There'd be no point.
That's why you don't swing.
Yeah, someone's also right. You wouldn't even make it to 200 at bats. You'd be done.
Oh, I died before. I'm just saying if I got five. Yeah, you're right. No, I'm not even sure to get to 100 at bats before my body fell apart, if we're being honest.
Well, the team would also be done with you.
No, I'm saying in this case, they have to play me. Like, I have to take over Juan Soto's contract. They're paying me the money to take on the criticism. Every fan of that team hates me with every fiber of their being. But I'll do it for $750 million is what I'm saying.
Yeah. New rule on the show for at least the rest of today, maybe the week. No longer does anybody on this show
get a
claim of ridiculous athletic hypothetical that just is like ridiculous.
In fairness, I think that I'm at a significantly lower claim rate here than Drew on the golf.
I'm not Michael Block in saying that if my game was as good as Rory's, I'd be better than he was. Let's pump the brakes, please.
That's true.
I have never claimed that I am better than a single solitary individual on the Corn Ferry Tour, PGA Tour, Amateur Tour. I'm not claiming anything.
He's just talking about shooting 100.
I'm talking about individual performance.
All right, I'll lower it. I'd get on base twice. And I do agree with you that my strikeout numbers would be at least 400.
All right, let's talk about the Chiefs' backfield. Nobody needs to claim that they could get a 30-yard touchdown running the ball, please, during this conversation. Okay,
does everyone die on my way to the end zone?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Let's avoid a ridiculous scenario where somebody at this station is capable of doing what Isaiah Pacheco has done in his career, because we're going to talk about Isaiah Pacheco here.
Impossible.
Okay, just want to make sure we're good.
I wouldn't even make it. I'd make it one snap in the NFL.
As much as we've talked about needing more explosiveness in the backfield, and we, to start the show, went through a couple names we like at running back in this year's draft, I do think because of the injury to Pacheco last year, we have forgotten, though, that Isaiah Pacheco is still a capable back. He just has to have somebody else complimenting him and now a full offseason of getting healthy. You know, do I think he can have the same workload he had pre-injury? Maybe not. But what we saw in December, we have to remember, that was not who he was prior to the injury. And the injury he had was a serious ankle injury that required surgery. Full offseason, going into the year, unless they spin one in the first round, he's going to be running back one for this team.
And I think should be viewed that way. It's interesting because you and I both think that they need to draft a running back to be a part of the room with him and Kareem Hunt. But I also think that we're kind of misplacing, because of the year he had, what he is capable of when fully healthy. I think what we know about Isaiah Pacheco now is why he was not a second-round pick or why a third-round pick, because there are partial limitations to his game that probably still hold him back a little bit from being one of those 15 best running backs in the NFL there. But 2 years ago when he was a rookie, he had 960 yards from scrimmage. He wasn't even a full-time starter then. 2 years ago, or like in his second year, he had 1,200 yards from scrimmage and 10 touchdowns. And so you're like, okay, last year he was hurt. He couldn't get on the field quite the same. He only played 7 games. Based on those, his average yards per carry went way down, but the offensive line was worse. I think Isaiah Pacheco in a full workload this year is in full for him, right? He's a 60% carry back, which is what I think you should look at him this year. I think he's a 1,000-yard scrimmage guy again. I don't think that's out of the question. Not a 1,000-yard out of the backfield, but a 1,000-yard scrimmage guy, which is what he was 2 years ago anyway. I think you should view him as running back one for the upcoming season. I don't think it's important when you draft running backs like this to squeeze every last ounce of juice out of him a lot of times before you turn it over to the next guy. This is where I might have been wrong about what they did with, like, partially wrong on what they did with Thomas Jones at the end, if they didn't think they were a Super Bowl contender that year. Pacheco's a good enough back that you should get your 1 year left out of him. Out of the legs, out of the back, do what you can. Squeeze the juice and then hand it off to the next running back, where Jahmyr Gibbs got way more carries in year two.
Yeah, but I mean, before last season, before the injury, we had a convo and I said last year was going to be the last year you could count on Isaiah Pacheco as the number one, gets, you know, 90% of the carries thing. Then he has an injury. I think he goes into the season as the number one running back. But if they spent a fairly high pick, and we know you got a crowded backfield of Kareem Hunt, Elijah Mitchell, Carson Steele as well. Somebody will end up getting cut, I think, at the end of training camp, or I guess traded for like the Carlos Hyde type of trade from a few years back. But I don't think you're going to see Pacheco have the same workload that he was pacing to have before the injury last year, or had the year before. Like, I think we're in a different spot. You can count on him, but it's not the same way maybe you would have before. And that was nothing that much to do to the injury, just the wear and tear that he was already going to have pre-injury.
Yeah.
But he to me, I'll be stunned if he's not RB1 on the depth chart week one when they open up the season against whoever, we don't know yet.
Maybe the Chargers in Brazil.
Could be.
That was certainly in the running as of, what, a couple of weeks ago. That was certainly the rumor that they were maybe still the favorite to do it.
Yeah, if the Cody and Gold road trip to Springfield goes well, we'll do a road trip to Sao Paulo. Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? That feels like I've been on the road a long time. Can we get like a bus? The next time we do a Cody and Gold road trip.
Let's just get a cruise ship.
The next time we do the Cody and Gold road trip, can we get one of those like big coach buses?
One and two. I think there's a little liability concern we ran into. But
can
yes,
they take I on wanted, the liability?
I wish, because we talked about, trust me, it was something we talked about. Yes.
I think that'd be fun.
It would
kind
be
of like a booze
fun.
Cruise,
it
you
would
know,
be a
down.
Lot of fun.
Down to the company.
I think the company was going to freak out about that.
If, by the way, you have already purchased your tickets to the Cody and Gold road trip, and if you missed that, we're heading down to watch Jack Caglione hit massive home runs on Saturday, May 3rd. That game is in Springfield. They take on the AA Fayetteville team, obviously, but will be in Springfield for the game against the Springfield Cardinals. One person who purchased tickets to the game will get a chance to throw out the first pitch. We got a great ticket deal at 96.5thefan.com. Only $10 to get in there. So if you just want to drive down and drive back, that's a choice. We'll probably find a place to go get a couple of drinks after the game instead. If you've already ordered your tickets, and I'll be honest with you, right now, I think we're approaching or near around 70 total people going on this trip right now.
Yep, 70 listeners.
And you would like the Cags shirt we're having printed up from Raygun. Those are available for $10 for people going down there. If you need that link, as in you purchase the tickets and you want the link, hit us up on the text line, 913-586-7965, or on socials at Alex Gold. At Cody B. Tapp, we'll make sure to send that to you, or in the YouTube or Twitter or Twitch chat. I can help you there as well. But if you want the shirt, right now there's plenty of people who have bought tickets who don't have the shirt yet or don't want, maybe they don't want it, but they didn't haven't ordered it. Yeah. We'll help you out there. But if you want to go to the thing, already 70 of us heading down to watch Cags. We're filling up a couple of sections down there in Springfield. It's going to be a great time.
Yeah, no, we're only a couple days into the announcement for this, and we've got great turnout. So I think especially when we get closer and people see the weather forecast, and once people maybe are more confident, if you're worried about Cags or you think he's not going to be there or whatever, once we get inside 2 or 3 days of the road trip, my guess is even more of you sign up. So great turnout already. Hope to see you guys down in Springfield. And yes, the t-shirts, if you order them, they have to be picked up in Springfield at Harbell's, which is a bar like 5 minutes from the ballpark, starting at 3:30 on Saturday, May the 3rd.
Somebody's like, $10. I was like, is that more than a Royals game? I was like, nah, secondary market. Who says you can't buy a secondary market ticket? $10.
Wait, someone's mad about the ticket costing.
$10? Okay. We got to offer that person. You know what? If you come from the 816, I got one for you, you know? I'll get you 10. But I think it's going to be a great time down there. And we're going to meet, yeah, like you mentioned, at Harbell's beforehand to hand out those shirts. You guys got your orders in? You got your sizes in there, Drew? You got your shirt size in there?
Yes.
Okay. Just want to make sure we're all taken care of. Don't want to be missing any of it. It's hard, man. It's hard to keep track of sometimes. We want to make sure that everybody who wants a shirt gets a shirt. That's all.
That's right.
Well, that's going on the trip.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not looking to get in the secondary t-shirt selling.
Cody's going to start being on a street corner selling t-shirts. That's the next thing.
We've already done that for the station multiple times, as you recall, with several different iterations of Taylor Swift t-shirts. Was that it? Is that the only time we've done that? That feels right. Speck has also handed out some t-shirts for the Royals playoff run, I think last year. Thanks to Raygun. You know, they're a nice t-shirt partner. Always helping us out. Getting our CAG shirts all squared away. Somebody said you broke your own rule. Can't have hypothetical road trips to Brazil gold. They're saying that's no more ridiculous.
By the way, us doing
that's
that
no
is,
more ridiculous
honest,
than me getting on base three times or five
my
times.
My hypothetical is way more possible to even start executing than Cody's.
Well, mine's just, yeah, they're never going to put me on. Yeah, my hypothetical, what's funny about mine is,
happen,
my hypothetical know? Versus, like, I don't think Drew's ever getting on Augusta, but, like, it's at least technically plausible. Mine is not. No team would just pay me $750 million to stand on their bench and get That's struck right. out 450
That's
times.
Right. That's right. That's right. All right. Up next, let's get to the 11 o'clock hour. The latest from Clay County. Maybe they're still in the mix for a Royals stadium moving forward. We'll tell you the latest there. And one current member of the Chiefs says he's in for a big year. We'll see if you guys agree.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A
monster shot.
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Next.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.